killed along with three of her brothers by an Israeli airstrike in Han Yunis Market. The mother, she lived, but she was hopeful for hours that they would be pulled out alive by the paramedics from the rubble where her home once stood. And I think this photo is incredible, Amy, as well, because, you know, it's probably, again, when people have seen them, it's one which really stayed with them. It's graphic in a way, but it's not graphic in another. But the emotion that you have when you see this image again, you know, very strong, and it makes you understand again what we were talking about before. What does this war look like day in, day out for people and families and children in Gaza? You know, seeing a child's feet under the rubble, you know, again, makes you understand the war quite differently than just reading about it.
Charlotte Kanz, head of photography for OCHA, the United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs. She coordinated the Gaza Collective Photo Essay Project. Charlotte said these are not just photojournalists. These are also civilians. They're witnesses and victims to the horrible conflict that we're seeing unfolding in front of our eyes. We particularly thank Charlotte for this interview. She was in Paris after the passing of her mother this week. And that does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is currently accepting applications for our digital fellowship. Learn more and apply at democracynow.org. Democracy Now! Is produced with Renee Fels, Mike Burke, Dina Guzder, Sherif Dokkadoos, Messiah Rhodes, Nermeen Sheikh, Maria Tarasena, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Malkoff, Tamer Yazdi, Joe John Hamilton, Rabbi Karen, Hani Massoud. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
KBOO's board is recruiting directors. In preparation for our annual board election in September, KBOO's nominating committee will be holding virtual information sessions from now through June. KBOO's Board of Directors guides the station's strategic plan and represents the interests and visions of all of our members. BIPOC persons are especially encouraged to apply. More information and meeting times can be found at kboo.fm/boardrecruiting. Thank you for considering board work at KBOO.
That's Doc Watson, one of the many artists you can hear on the Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, when we share a wide variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music with you from 5:30 to 7 a.m. Each week, your hosts Dan Schrammack and Stephen Morrison bring you some of our favorite new releases and plenty of vintage favorites. It's a great way to start your Fridays, discover some new music, and find out about shows and festivals coming to the area. You can also find show playlists and listen to archive shows on demand via our website at kboo.fm and also via our free mobile app. That's the Cascadia Coffee House each Friday morning, where you hear a variety of traditional and contemporary folk and roots music from 5:30 to 7, right here on KBOO. We hope you'll join us.
Support for this program comes from KBOO members in the Portland Housing Bureau, announcing the opening of the North Northeast Homeownership Preference Policy Waitlist, helping longtime and displaced residents to purchase a home in their community. The application deadline is April 19th. Information for the Homeownership Preference Policy Waitlist at portland.gov/phb.
Good morning. You are listening to The Gap here on KBOO Portland. We are KBOO's most listened to radio show on Friday at 8 a.m. when we are on. My name is Tammy, and with me is the charming Althea Billings.
Hello and good morning. Happy to be here. How are you doing?
Happy to be here. It's you're wearing socks and sandals, I'm wearing socks and sandals.
We're both unusual. Rocking it. Unusual.
We didn't coordinate it.
Somebody usually comes in with a real pair of shoes. Or is
sometimes,
doing it.
Yeah. But we're both wearing jeans too. I'm usually wearing my PJs. It's because the sun is out. So
yeah.
Sun's out, pants on.
Okay, yeah. People are not saying that, but I think that they should be.
Not saying it yet.
Not saying it yet. They're not ready for it. This is The Gap. We like to do a two-parter type of talk show here. I don't know where the accent's coming from, but in the first half, oftentimes we'll do an interview or a news roundup, a roundhouse kick to the face, even sometimes we've called it. So we'll do a little bit of that for you today, and then stick around for the bottom of the hour. Mm. That is when we get into our community question, where you can call in and chat with us about the things that we're going to ask you to chat about. We want your input.
So, yes, we do, always. You know,
don't put down that phone.
Don't put it down. Stay connected.
Is that like 80s telemarketers would say? I don't, or like the televangelist. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh.
Pick up that phone. Dial it.
The TV show that my mom watches called QVC also tells her to do that. So
oh, yeah, yeah.
I was listening to it when I was visiting her, and they go hard.
Yeah.
They're like, they've never made this before, and they'll never make this again. This is your one chance to buy this. Interesting, you know, you might not really need this type of
this commemorative thing. Coin or whatever.
And they got me. I was like, what are they selling? I had to like turn around because I was like, whatever he's selling, I'm buying. And
well, never mind the fact that if something was popular and good, they'd probably make more of it.
No, this is one chance. And it was actually like commemorative spoons or something.
Right.
And the way he was pitching it, I was just like, do I need that? I kind of think I might. Well, yeah.
What spoons do I have and what do they commemorate? Nothing good.
Now that's a community question.
Garage sale. Okay. So news roundup. We have a bunch of local stuff for you.
Yeah, staying with the local. I'll tell you what. Yeah. I can't deal with what they're doing on the federal level. It's too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. I can't pick every day. It's something different.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say.
It's Mike Johnson.
Is he in? Is he out?
I don't know. I have to look every day. It's like it's like they should have a sign that says it's been X amount of days since our last
since
ousting
we threatened to 0 days since they threatened to oust him. Maybe
it is a mesh of messes.
Yeah.
And I'm just not going to have it in this beautiful Friday.
That's fine.
Sticking with the local stuff,
which is totally going well and not messy at all. First headline here. KGW, despite strides, Joint Office of Homeless Services needs to expand shelter space and housing placements. First of all, I could have told you that.
They've been telling us this.
They've been trying to say. But a new audit of the Joint Office, and you know, we got some numbers related. This time there are numbers. Yeah. Famously, we had a bit of a conniption. What was that, last summer? On a different audit about how they didn't know how many people they had helped.
How many they got them into housing.
That feels like one of the main things you would want to know.
It's in the name of the...
Well,
services. That's part of it. And then they came with some other numbers that were not related to the original audit, but the numbers looked good, but weren't what the auditor was asking for.
Yeah.
And here we are with another brand new report.
Right. And is it saying things that were not already apparent? Not necessarily, but it is saying, importantly, that there are not enough shelter beds for the people, for the amount of people in Multnomah County who are sleeping unsheltered every night, and there is a big lag when it comes to housing placement. So even people who are in shelter, in and out of shelter, and wanting housing, the wait lists are extremely long.
And there is also a difference for family shelters And I didn't realize that some of the joint offices of homeless services funded shelters cannot be accessed on a walk-in basis.
Oh.
You need a referral or reservation, which that it's just another hurdle to try to get into a shelter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, it's always good to remember that that's still the state of affairs, I guess. And it's not to say that there haven't been improvements or more shelters opened or more housing placements, but in turn, when you compare that to the need and the need for speed of placing, it's still quite lacking.
There's this part in the article, I'll quote it. In order to free up beds for referrals from outreach workers, Portland Police, Park Rangers, and Portland Street Response, some congregant shelters now, quote unquote, set aside beds for people encountered on the streets. However, the audit notes that these beds often went unused at best, resulting in people actively on a waiting list missing out on an otherwise unoccupied bed.
Yeah. It's tough. It's tough to read.
It's someone, I don't know, man, someone has to answer to this. Like, yeah. Why is this, how is...
Do we need to get a spreadsheet involved?
How about if they spread their sheet for an ocular pat down because I'm not having it?
Oh, okay.
I don't know. It got away from me, but...
Spread the sheet and invite someone to sleep in the shelter for a night was going to be where I thought you were
nice,
going.
Nice, not but, like that. That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so, really, that's just so sad. And
grim.
The wait list, it's like...
Well, and here's the thing that I think is really important to note is that because of the way that all of this is structured or not structured, there isn't like a right way to do it.
Sure.
You know? So there, you can't even hold up a model of, well, if you're sleeping outside and one of the outreach workers from the county says that they are inviting you to a shelter, then you go, you stay there for 3 nights and then you can get into housing, or you stay there for a week and then you can. You know, like that's not how it works. It's entirely opaque and seemingly kind of random if it works out for you. And that's like, you know, people who are coming in without, you know, partners or kids or pets or things like that that can complicate it. It's
just more barriers. It's really just sad to hear that the structures are just not working. There's also another quote here that's also interesting. And again, it reminds me that this is part of what we put focus in is what we're going to get. So providers, this is another quote, providers focused on outcomes as required by the county, which means a priority instead of what we are doing, what we are putting time and effort into. The way data is captured could be changed to reflect those efforts and add value.
Mm-hmm.
And the auditors do note that they recognize the challenges of setting both consistent and realistic metrics across a range of different shelter types serving different, like you mentioned, different populations.
Yeah.
Again, not all shelters. There's day shelters. There's, you know, ones that you can sleep there. There's ones that's just for families. Ones that, you know. But this wouldn't be as heartbreaking if there wasn't, you know, kind of shadowing to the next story.
Yeah, let's go there.
If there weren't actual criminal results of people being unhoused,
right,
which is what Rene Gonzalez is trying to do in for his future as possible mayor. Because he is running for mayor. But yeah, it's kind of
we'll run through it really quick and then kind of talk about what all of it means. So Wheeler, it was supposed to happen yesterday. There was supposed to be a city council meeting about reinstating like a version of the camping ban that we talked about last year that was blocked by the courts because cruel and unusual. Yeah. I mean, that they didn't, in so many words, basically it was they couldn't enforce it and have it be legally sound and not discriminate against people for being involuntarily homeless, which is, you know, also the subject of the Supreme Court case that's getting heard on Monday. Stay tuned for that, of course. So basically, Wheeler is planning to reintroduce this. It's a scaled back version of the camping ban that we saw passed last year. And so it only has to do with public property. It changes the punishments to be $100 fine and a week in jail. Now, midweek, Commissioner Rene Gonzalez goes, "Hey, I got an amendment. I have a big idea. And it's called, what if we take all of the power to legislate around homelessness and just give it to the mayor and the city administrator? What do we think about that?" And that throws everybody into a tizzy. And he's also suggesting imposing much stricter penalties to people who are homeless. There's a Good Willamette Week article on it. Talk to me.
I have my hands crossed. Why do you think that I feel like we're in high school. Why do you think that he thinks that...
Critical reading questions?
that he could get something like this passed if beforehand if Ted Wheeler had to like loosen up and make it not as,
right.
you know, had to lower the fine and, you know, lower the, I think it went from like 30 days to 10 days or something.
Yes, 30 so to a week maybe.
Why does he think that he can walk that back? And also, why is he trying to make fetch happen? Talk to me.
So true. Well, okay, there's, let me tell you about the part at the end that I cracked me up. Well, maybe this was in a different article, but it sort of described how everybody else on city council was reacting to it. And so Wheeler and Rubio have come out strongly in opposition of this idea of making it so that city councilors of the future cannot make rules about time, place, and manner when it has to do with homelessness. So like taking an entire chunk of policymaking and putting it in the seat of one guy.
And that's the mayor saying
which
that.
Is extremely anti-democratic, right? And we also know that Rene Gonzalez is running for mayor. I don't know if you've...
What?
Oh my God. He's really doing a good job staying in the headlines. So, you know, Rubio voted down the last camping ban. Mm-hmm. She was the one vote against it. So some of this stuff like is expected for her. Wheeler and Rubio are also big like process people. And we know that Rene Gonzalez doesn't like to obey process. He likes to like drop things at the last minute and sort of
delegating.
Yeah, he likes to sort of go behind Carmen Rubio's back to sort of make adjustments to her stuff without talking to her or her people. He likes to show up to council with new ideas that nobody's heard of, stuff like that. So they are opposed to it. Dan Ryan on board. Dan Ryan's loving it. They are besties for some reason.
Ride or die.
Until one person calls Dan Ryan and says, hey, this is a bad idea. And then he'll be like, I didn't read it. I don't know. I just showed up to the meeting. Doesn't mean I like it, you know, which is what he always does. And Mingus Maps is what? Undecided.
Well, he said, I got to read into it. Got to get the whoever that neighbor is in the Cully neighborhood that called 100 something times on the pho restaurant.
Oh, I was wondering if you were going to say down. The pickleball person at the pho restaurant.
Oh, we got to get both of those angry neighbors and have them call Dan Ryan and be like, yeah, we
Dan
don't
Ryan,
like this.
Dan Ryan,
No, stop it. This is what the mayor himself is saying. No, this is too much.
That's a terrible idea.
The mayor is saying this. They tried to. Why? I just really want to understand why. I mean, I understand why. I don't need to. It's power, yeah. and he wants to criminalize people. But how can this be
consolidating power?
But I understand the consolidating power. I get it. It's politics. It's like, you know, power hungry. I get like that part. I don't say I get it. As in, I understand.
Been there, done that.
That's just like politicking as usual. But if you know, we're talking about the first article. If the auditor is telling you. There's the system that we have in place or however we are trying to make this work is not working.
Yeah.
And they've been telling this
hasn't been scaled up at all. Yeah.
Then you have something like Portland Street Response, which, you know, sits under Gonzalez and he isn't even answering their phone calls.
Right.
So any way that the city has shown itself to want to pour into this issue, you know, to kind of have something grow back from it that will be productive and fruitful for people that are experiencing, you know, that are housing insecure or experiencing homelessness.
Yeah.
And he's just saying no. Like, he's...
Yeah.
Why? And I just... Who are you? Like, who's backing him? Like, what right. California developer got in your little ear, medium-sized ear, whatever, and said to you, this is what you
extremely average-sized ear. We have no comments about the relative scale. I haven't even seen him, to be honest.
I don't like mentioning people's, you know, just...
I look at people from the front,
who is this?
Okay? If they have ears, I don't know about it.
I don't even know. Who got it in his psyche?
Yeah,
right here in his third eye.
Right,
to blind him like this in such a power hungry whatever. But there isn't anything. You know what I'm trying to say?
Like I do.
He's undoing so many things, and then he's breaking everything apart, and then saying, "Look how broken everything is."
Right,
that's not fair. That's like not fair at all.
There was. Kind of I came up with a metaphor, which often on the show I get carried away on, but sort of the difference between if someone like crocheted a scarf and they're just about to finish it, right? And then, you know, you're like, hand it over to Renee, and then he just starts pulling on the string. Mm-hmm. He throws your crochet hook and starts pulling on the string. He says, look how much change I made.
Mm.
It's like, no, you undid it. You didn't make anything. You didn't create something. You're pulling things apart.
And by pulling things apart, and I get it, you come into a situation, a new job. I mean, he's not new on a job anymore, but coming in with new ideas as though you're going to redo everything in your image, as though there's never been anyone in this position smart enough, able, capable enough to
there's
do.
There's not 12 people in the whole city that could run it, from his mouth.
This is what the person who's running for mayor thinks about the people that are living in the city. Like, this is just not, this isn't a team player. It doesn't seem like a team player to me. And coming in with what he's doing with Rubio's, the Portland Energy Fund.
PSF,
what he did with Portland Street Response, you know, undoing basically anything Joanne Hardesty has ever managed to put together.
Breathed in the direction of.
And he
says, burn it.
It's like, and he is undoing it. It makes it seem as though he's doing a lot of things. It's kind of like in that Seinfeld episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Where George said, if you want your boss to think you're busy, just look angry all the time. Just look like you're... like you're real. Oh,
guys.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, ugh.
And like you said, you know, he is running for mayor, and this is a great tactic of staying in the spotlight and making it seem as though you're standing up for something when I'm saying, what California realtor developer has gotten his head?
Right. I mean, to read the quote that he gave about this, quote, our office is committed to aggressively protecting Portland from the crime, fire hazards, and debilitating drug culture in the encampments that are preying on our most vulnerable residents and harming our community. I will explore every legal avenue to do so. It's also worth noting that what he's proposed, right, is an amendment to Wheeler's camping ban. And the amendment, if the Supreme Court case grants pass v. Johnson, if they were to rule in that they're, you know, that they can loosen up basically the constitutional restrictions on banning homeless camping, then he put an amendment in there to be like, actually, and then it'll be $500, a $500 fine if we catch you camping, and 30 days in jail. So he's ready to ramp it up is to happen.
Because, like, walking it back.
Yeah, if they overrule Martin v. Boise.
That's, as of now, go ahead.
I was going to say, so that's cool.
It is. Weird, that's sarcastic.
Cool. Oh, no, sorry, 6 months in jail. $500 or 6 months in jail. Ay, ay, ay.
On the Portland.gov, there is a webpage if people are interested in the time, place, and manner camping info, because, you know, I heard a time, place, and manner, like, theory, but I thought it was all, like, First Amendment stuff, but it's not. It's very interesting. So this is the restriction, camp restriction policies to comply with House Bill 3115.
Hmm.
It has a lot of details. There's a slideshow. It gives specific details as to the literal time restrictions, place restrictions, manner in which people are camping.
Right.
If you remember, they were mentioning things like gas heaters. You can't be around. You can't have gas heaters.
Have bike parts.
Right. On a private property or business adjacent. If it's on a full moon, no, I'm kidding. That doesn't say that specifically, but
if there's ever been grass grown in the area, you can't be there.
I don't know if you're making that up or if that's in there. Because
no,
that
it might
sounds
be.
Like
I don't know.
But I understand, again, there are definitely some things here where hazardous materials, like you don't want people, you know, there was a time where there was a high fidelity, fatality corridors.
Oh yeah, yeah, high crash corridors.
Which is again like heartbreaking to know that this is that people are, you know, in trying to live and in trying to just be, they are dying and putting themselves in harm's way. But more specifically, what I noticed in this, we can link it on the show notes in the Portland.gov page. There's a frequently asked questions about the time, place, and manner ordinances, camping ordinances. And the first question is, does this ordinance criminalize homelessness? And the city of Portland says, no. This ordinance amends existing city code And the goal is to, it goes on, blah, blah, blah. The code is to connect people with services, not to impose punishment.
That is one of the things that you do have to do.
This.
You can't. I mean, and just to clarify, because I don't know that I expressed it specifically here, that there is this, like, there's the case law that's in the Ninth Circuit Court, Martin v. Boise, that, you know, gets talked about a lot. But it is also based on Eighth Amendment case law, cruel and unusual punishment, that you can't punish somebody for a state of being, I guess, that you can't control. And it's based on some rule in some law in California they tried to pass to make it illegal to be addicted to drugs. So not to use drugs, not to buy drugs, not to sell drugs, but to just have the condition of being an addict or having a substance use disorder. And the Supreme Court at that point ruled, no, you can't do that. You can't punish somebody for something that they can't help. And, you know, up until this Supreme Court case, homelessness, involuntary homelessness, has been considered in that same way. Like, you can't throw somebody in jail for something because they can't afford to rent, or that they have, you know, they have an eviction on their record and mm-hmm. landlords don't want to rent to them.
It goes on saying Portlanders who are, quote, involuntarily homeless will not be cited if they adhere to the objectively reasonable ordinance restrictions. And again, there's that legalese, as they say, with the
objectively reasonable. Sorry.
Say it like that. Sheesh. Giving goosebumps.
Sorry.
I'm going to get myself together. Go ahead. objectively reasonable.
Which is like likely the part of HB 3115 and from the Martin v. Boise case that had the last camping ban get held up. And I say likely because the court didn't tell them, and Mayor Ted Wheeler was very peeved about that.
Yes, he was.
He said, they won't even tell us why. And it's like, I mean, I could tell you why. I'm not, and they don't pay me for that. I can make an educated guess.
Get you on the Ted Wheeler task force.
Task force to discern why we've done why what we've done is illegal.
It's, and just considering that this is right now the ordinance, I guess, under Ted Wheeler, and which is still pretty sad. And I just don't understand. I understand what he's doing, and it's just, I hope that other people are you know, seeing how clear it just seems so clear that he's. I'm going to say it for the
Gonzalez
last time.
Gonzalez or Wheeler?
Gonzalez. Just what developer is giving you these suggestions? That's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Go ahead.
Well, just to say, like, what, you know, what's the, like, talk, let's think about what the end game is. And is this solving any of the problems? Or is it putting the problem in jail? You know, as opposed to taking steps that we know make a difference, right? Not investing in the issue, investing in Portland street response.
That's the thing. You're looking into the future as though you can expend Portland street response for 24 hours, have the feds pay for it.
Yeah.
And then you could.
He's like, what if we put this issue in a box and I kept it in my closet until you elect me mayor? And then I actually won't let you look at it, but I'm going to take care of it. It's like, okay, what?
Right. Where he's very...
like trying to vest himself with the sole power to change things, which is so anti-democratic. Even if you like what he's doing, even if you like this idea, that's not how we make decisions. And it is also clearly like looking at the writing on the wall, which is we have like 80 people running mm-hmm. for city council. Count it up, you know, but it is much more progressive leaning than mm-hmm. the current council is. And so I think you also have Renee Gonzalez looking at, hey, there's probably going to be progressive movement on this as soon as a new council gets sworn in January of next year. What if I take this issue that they're probably not going to agree with me on and put it in a box where they can't reach it, right, on a high shelf, you know, to say that the new city councilors are going to be short.
Sure. No. And it's also... it's like this, it's not like an issue that people don't know that it's not like it's a city bureau that's like hemorrhaging money and no one knows about it because there's like some sort of, you know, shady stuff
embezzlement
happening
there. Yeah,
something like that. This is like, everyone is very much aware of all the different elements that is around housing, whether it's people can't afford housing, whether mm-hmm. it's what's going on with, or what was happening and the results of Measure 110, whether it's just, again, developers, mm-hmm. this has been ongoing here in town. There isn't someone who's unaware that there is a housing crisis.
Yeah.
And he's just like, there might be 12 people in Portland. This is not looking good that I'm trying to say the sentence. I can't spit it out.
No, you can't. I was interrupting. Go ahead.
It's not a good look.
You might not find 12 people that agree with you.
Oh.
Is that what he meant?
I will drop this mic, but I don't want to because it's gentle.
No,
this is a mic drop. He's basically saying there aren't 12 people who are smart enough to deal with this, so I'll just deal with it on my own Z's. With my friend, Dan Ryan.
Dan Ryan. Until you call Dan Ryan and say, Dan, I don't like that. And he said, I don't like it either. I'm on your side.
You know, I like that. I was so interested in their friendship. If they had like a little show about their friendship, I would watch it.
Yeah, what's going on? What's their text chain like? I'd love to know.
Aw. I bet you there's a lot of
emojis.
They're
in like Instagram DMs.
I think there's a lot of emojis. Because they're busy, you know, they're on the go.
He's like, what if I consolidate all of the power into the mayor's office and then I'll be mayor and I'll just run it? And then Dan Ryan just responds with like flame emojis.
And I think there's a lot of this emoji.
Oh, yeah,
the
like
muscle
the muscle arm.
Yeah.
He's like, that's strong. We're making it up. We're giving ideas. Should we do one last mention or the last story?
For sure.
This is a Portland Mercury article. Portland will pay nearly $1.6 million for independent monitor to oversee the city's compliance with the DOJ settlement. This has to do with the Portland Police Bureau, a nearly decade-old settlement about how the Portland Police Bureau had this pattern of excessive force that they were using on people with mental illness. So the DOJ had to intervene and sort of say, hey, get it together. That's not okay. That's violating people's rights, actually. It was supposed to expire in 2021, I believe, but then the incidents of excessive force by police during the 2020 protests meant that it got prolonged. And so there's a lot of like overlapping structures that have to do with this. But now we're getting an independent monitor, which is a thing that a lot of other police departments who are under DOJ settlements have.
Mm. I'm looking at some of the background of the people, the Smith and the team that will be doing the dog watching.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is apparently
they're babysitting.
the current inspector general at the LA Police Department and has been doing nearly 20 years of police oversight work across the country. And they'll be relying on community voices. Are community pockets also paying for this? Or is it, I'm just one, just out of...
No, I don't think the DOJ is bankrolling it.
They're not bankrolling, I mean...
When you're in the wrong and you're trying to settle something, I mean, it's Portland's in the wrong, you know?
A specific body, not... I mean, I'm just assuming, I actually should go ahead and look and see if we are pocketbooking.
Hmm. I think so, yeah. I think it is probably coming from taxpayer money. So, you know, now there's going to be a new person keeping an eye on things. So that's, I actually don't know if I have an opinion about whether that's good or bad. We need to get out from under the damn settlement. That's what I'll say. And make the changes, and because it also hamstrings any kind of like, not all kinds of change within the police department and oversight of policing, but it makes it a much longer and more arduous process. And that was one of the worries when the police oversight measure was passed in 2020, was like, sure, we can put all this work into it, but then what if the DOJ just rejects it?
Mm.
I don't think that's happened, but that was a worry.
Mm.
It'd be good to get out from under the settlement, is what I'm trying to say.
It is definitely always feels like it's like a shadow on everything. And whenever any type of movement wants to happen, it's like a festering there. And they're going to vote about accepting the bid in May?
Couple weeks.
Wow. What, 2 weeks? Look at us.
May is, it is right around the corner.
I'm still stuck in February, I'm going to tell you the truth.
It was long this year.
It's a leap year.
Mm.
Do you know if they're going to have anything to do with like the Police Accountability Committee? If they're, or are they going to be not reporting, but like sending reports or interacting with them or anything?
There are a few. So the DOJ settlement is part of what created the Portland Committee on Community Engaged Policing, or PCEP. So that's one of the bodies. There's a whole bunch of overlapping police monitoring. And so the new version of it, I'm not totally up to date on where that's at right now, because City Council kind of gutted it. And then now the Portland Police Association is trying to get a measure on the ballot to just roll it back entirely. So
the committee?
Yeah, to roll back all like years of work and what 80% of Portlanders voted for.
Oh, it's
getting held up in court, but it's, you know,
it's an escrow. Got him. It's going to be a long year.
For the uninitiated, we like to use that word liberally and perhaps incorrectly.
Who knows? I don't.
We're not finding out, so don't call and tell us.
Don't know, don't care.
Don't change that dial. We're going to take a little midway break. You're listening to The Gap. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. Community question is next. Enjoy some tunes.
Tall and thin and young and lovely, the girl from Ipanema goes walking, and when she passes, each one she passes goes
We are back here on The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Tammy, and with me is Althea, and we're chugging along into our second part of this here program, our community question.
Yep.
That song just mellowed me out so much.
That's good. That's good.
this question is based on the happenings, the now.
Right.
The goings. And it is going broke.
Oh.
It is. We want some thrifty tips from people. We are interested to see, how are you saving money during this time?
Mm.
Go to the grocery store, one day say, let me get some bread. $5, $4. I couldn't believe
Twist my eyes. Twist of the knife.
I couldn't believe my eyes. I have to go to three different grocery stores.
Okay.
Serrated edge.
Ow!
I was on that serrated edge.
Yeah.
I said, pull me back. Pull me back from the side. How are you able to save some, what do they say, spend a dollar when you have to, save a penny when you can.
Mm.
My grandma said that.
Wise words.
And things are bonkers right now. The grocery store specifically, food costs are up.
Mm.
I think also rent is up. Well, it's also
rent
due.
Is up? What? Call me when rent is down.
It's lowercase up. Oh. Not rent. And
rent is in. Mortgages are out. Kidding. Thrifty tips.
And thrifty tips. We'll love to hear from you. 503-231-8187. Wendy's,
right.
the fast food chain restaurant, they said to themselves, oh, we have an idea. Have you heard of happy hour?
Yeah.
The opposite. When people want food the most, that's when we're going to charge the most. You might say, isn't that price surging? No, they said. This is not price surging. It is surging. It's dynamic pricing.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Trying to squeeze every last dime out of you.
That's
Punish
not something
you.
A friend does.
No.
Punish you because you want a burger. So it's like you're looking and you're at 7:40. It's like, what, lunch hour.
Yeah.
And a burger is, whatever, $3. And then lunch 30, you know, 12:30, all of a sudden
Oops,
it's...
everybody's off at lunch for that time.
You know?
It's 7. Yeah.
It's just...
Nutty.
And it's like, Wendy's, this is the thing. It's called happy hour. You make it cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so that was a little bit of an inspiration. Just truly
squeezing every last dime out of you. But let us know, what are you doing to save money? Be thrifty. 503-231-8187. You can message us on the website, kboot.fm. Click on the chat with us button. You can email us Our email is thegapradio@gmail.com, or you can message us on Instagram. Our Instagram handle is @thegapradio. Your thrifty tips, talk to me.
You go to the grocery store, you know? Yeah. You get a bell pepper, for example.
Paint me a word picture.
You get the bell pepper, yeah. You come back home, you make yourself a little salad, you know, maybe a little oil, a little salt, maybe sure. A little pepper. You get your you cut up the bell pepper, make a little stripes, a little salad or something. Do a little julienne cutting action.
Too rich for my blood.
You keep the top where all the seeds are.
Yeah.
Put it on a windowsill somewhere. Let it dry out a little bit.
Yeah.
Take those seeds, put them in a paper container, yeah. A paper towel. Let them sprout. Let them sprout in a couple of weeks. You have a bell pepper plant. Boom. Wow. Yeah. Boom, boom, boom. And they grow. And they really grow. They actually grow really fast. And we're in such an amazing zone for gardening.
Mm.
Within weeks, you'll have tiny little bell peppers sprouting out. And you can do that with so many different fruits, vegetables, herbs.
Yeah.
What
can't you grow?
Let's say you go to Gabu and you get yourself some pho, and they give you the basil.
Yeah.
You know what you do with that?
What do you do with
it? You take whatever you want to use for your soup. You take the basil, look at the bottom, you cut a little bit on the bottom from the stem, put that in water. A couple of days, you got some
new roots going?
Roots. Yeah. Some new roots going.
Grow where you're planted, they say.
Grow where I'm putting everyone in escrow.
Yeah.
We got a caller on the line. John, you are with us on the air.
What's up?
How goes it?
The vacation time in the summertime. Yeah, we're going to go to Yosemite, but hey, on the way back, it's Northern California Rainbow Gathering, where you just give a little donation, and you can eat all you want, all morning, noon, and night, entertainment, swimming, good, very clean water, very, very clean water, camping free, it's in the National Forest, it's Northern California, okay, that's it.
A free vacation. I love that.
Oh, that's good intel, John.
Oh, he's like the wind in and out.
He's saving so much money, he's got to go. Time is money. Many people are saying this.
A thrifty vacation. Oh, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, follow up to that. If you do want to go, for example, to festivals or something, they're always looking for volunteers. And what do volunteers get off you?
Free stuff.
Free entrance. You got to work. But if you work, you make friends. And you actually have a reason to go there. And if you want to go by yourself, it's a little bit safer. You know, I definitely recommend going with a friend or two or three. Mm. But if you're there with a reason and you pick up skills.
Right.
So not only do you go to the concert for free,
mm-hmm.
you also learn things for free.
Mm-hmm.
Two birds, one bird feeder.
So true.
Go ahead, Elfie. I want to hear your thrifty
tips. Well, I'll give it to you in one sec. Thrifty tips, if you want to call 503-231-8187, message us on the website, kbu.fm. Okay, the one that I discovered recently is that at my local library, by the photocopier, there's a binder that has a photocopy of the day's New York Times crossword puzzle, the Oregonian, and all the puzzles that you can photocopy for free. I'm not getting a subscription. I'm going to the library. I'm photocopying some crosswords. I'm going home and I'm having my coffee.
Okay? Good.
You know
good.
What I mean?
Good. Good. I'm good.
And
you gotta enjoy these things. Your coffee that what? Costs $700-$800 maybe? At least you could do is have
a little crossword to do.
We are so excited about this. I love our energy for this.
I've had so much fun figuring that out. Because sometimes I just go to the library and I wander into a different corner that I don't usually go into. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much stuff going on right here. Other thrifty things, the Library of Things.
Mm.
Your local library has a whole litany of things. Party supplies. You want to throw an Elmo-themed birthday? Say less. They have the decorations that you can borrow for like 2 weeks. Knife sharpener, famously. I did get one of those. Camping supplies, I think, that they have.
I need like some headlamps or something. That'd be
blenders.
What?
You know, you want to borrow an appliance for a fun cooking project? You don't have to shell out for it, you know?
I'm percolating.
Yeah.
Percolating with all the activities.
We can share with the Library of Things. Mm. If you have a thrifty tip in these challenging monetary times.
Ew, very challenging.
503-231-8187. Let us know.
We can help each other.
Go ahead.
Help each other. Yeah, and talk. I'm going to give you another one. You ready? Let me paint you another picture.
Yeah.
I get my bill from the Portland Bureau of Water and Sewer. Water Bureau.
Shout out to the sewage.
I'm so hyped up about this. I call them. I say, listen, my bill is a little too high. I'm one person. I don't know what's happening. How are you charging me this much? He said, well, here it could be a couple of things. Take a look, blah, 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 blah. I said, this is beyond my abilities. I tried my best. I called the people to see if there's something
wrong. Isn't that enough?
I called. That's the best I can do. What do I get 2 days later in the mail? A package from the Portland Water Bureau, and it had first off, it had these little tablets to see if you have a water leak in the toilet. Mm. Then it had like a little stopper that you can put on your faucet so that you're not using as much water. Then the sign that a little, what do you call this, sand clock? You know what I'm talking about.
I do. The sand clock.
The sand clock.
I can't remember now.
That you flip. You know, in most languages they call it a sand clock. So
it's what it should be called. I'll Google it. Go on.
You flip. It's a 5 minute timer for your showers. They said 5 minutes is the best way.
Hourglass. Thank you, Sherry.
What a bizarre thing. It's a bizarre hourglass. You know what? Sand clock. A 5 minute sand clock for showers.
Well, it should be the 5 minute glass
that you can stick in your shower, so you're not going over. And this was for free.
For free.
This is for free.
You barely even asked for it.
I didn't ask for it. Yeah. I said I'm having some issues. Can you tell me? Maybe it's something on your end. It's because you always assume it's not user error. And sure enough, yeah, I do have a leak in my toilet.
Oh.
What is the next step? It's beyond me. I gotta call. And they were so nice, and they were so friendly.
Working it through, though. That's good.
And I realized, right, because they might be living up the street. Like, these are...
Yeah.
This is us.
These are the people in your neighborhood.
And it really helped me out, and I'm going to take it anywhere that I move. Moving forward, I'm going to have this little kit with me where I'm going to, try to save a little bit of money on water usage. Yeah. So, I can put the, info for that on the our webpage, because it was really helpful and free.
And now you're passing along the info.
And I'm not passing along the information. Yes.
We love that. 503-231-8187. We're talking about being thrifty. You got any thrifty tips? We want to hear about it. 503-231-8187. Message us on the website, kbu.fm. Can I tell you one of my other thrifty tips?
Taking notes.
Bartering with your friends. I'm sort of working up the nerve to get into bartering with strangers, but for example, I have a friend who does some ceramics, and I'd been seeing online these little ceramic bee cups that you can put in your garden or in your like pots out on a balcony and stuff, and it's a place for bees to rest and to drink a little bit of water, and I want to be a friend to the bees, so I asked my friend, I said, would you maybe make me a couple of these? They're quite small, no big deal. She says, sure. Can we trade for them? Like, will we go buy me a bagel or something? Mm. I said, yeah, I could buy you a bagel. I could make you the cookies that I make that you like. Mm. And I could make you a couple beeswax wraps. Does that satisfy? And she says, yeah, that could work. Mm. So, the people in your life, they have skills. Let's trade,
Yeah, and you can think of things that you like that your friends do or have. Maybe they make art, or maybe they make great cookies. Maybe think of the pistachio cookies.
Yeah.
I'll trade you. I'll work for some pistachio cookies. What's up? I'll do a little something.
I made Tammy some pistachio cookies and they went over well. Sounds like.
Oh, I ate them in one sitting and couldn't feel my toe afterwards. So got to go to the doctor about it.
We have Kelly on the line. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I have a tip that I hope is helpful. Earlier you were talking about bread specifically, and I couldn't help but think Dave's Killer Bread or whatever they're called, they have a store where they manufacture all the bread, and you can actually buy it in bulk for like half the price, I want to say. And so my husband just always goes and buys like four or five loaves at a time. We stick it in the freezer and like, then we don't have to pay the outrageous price in the grocery store for it.
Did you hear that?
Tammy's writing, she's writing it down.
Writing that down. I think it's also here. It's like right around across the street, isn't
it? The Franz one. Okay. And you can get some half-price baked goods there, too. But yeah, the Dave's Killer Bread. Going to the source, putting it in the freezer. I love that.
Smart.
Yeah, it's just like a really easy, and like it's about the saving the pennies, right, as you guys are talking about. Yeah, anything that you can do to, like, you're going to buy bread anyway if you don't really care about, like, a specific kind. I also, like, Fred Meyer's always has that, like, discount bin from their bakery, like, day-old section. And I literally go there first, and then I just go and buy supplemental stuff, at, you know, everywhere else if they don't have what I need there.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for calling, Kelly.
Thank you.
Hopefully there's some folks out there gonna get some bread on the cheap. But yeah, the bargain bin at the grocery store, because there's that for the baked goods, and then also for some less than beautiful produce.
Mm.
Good way to get inspired. I got a bunch of Satsumas for like $1.50.
Even the co-ops have them, and sometimes they're a little they're expired, but I'll eat it a day or two.
Yeah.
What's that? Immunity builder.
There we go. We have Roger on the line. Hi, Roger. You're on with us.
Oh, hi. You guys could do the whole show. It's wonderful. You've got so many great ideas. And we do what Kelly does, buy stuff on sale and stick it in the freezer. That's a good one. When I go to work, I work alone at the bookstore, and I can't go out for breaks and stuff. So, although my coworkers, I see the bins full of these takeout containers and coffee cups and stuff, I make my own coffee before I go, put it in a jar, take it, and I make enough food to get me through the whole shift. And then just in life in general, I ride a bike, so I don't have a car. I don't have to pay for all that. I don't have one of those smartphones, so I don't have to pay for all that. We don't have any streaming services, so we don't have to pay for that. We get our DVDs from the library and books and stuff from the library. And I just ran into someone the other day who gave me my last haircut 35 years ago.
Whoa!
I've been cutting my hair since I was 15, and I'm 72 now. So I've had two haircuts since I moved to Oregon in 1978 from other people.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow.
Love your show. All these great tips. And love those bees. Got to give them water.
Yes. Well, thank you, Roger. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Love your show again. Bye.
Thank you. That coffee, let me tell you, let's say your coffee is $7. Let's say it's $5.
Yeah.
And the barista is really cute, so you give a little sum. Let's say you give a $2 tip. Let's say you go every day, every day a week, $50. $50.
Ouch.
When you can, it's like...
Yeah, 2-week period. Yeah, and I do this in the summer, especially because I sometimes get sleepy in the afternoons. And maybe I would like a tea or a yerba mate. But if I think ahead and I make iced tea at home, pop a little lemonade in there, keep it in the fridge at work, boom, 3 o'clock, I'm wired. Too wired, actually. So I have to drink it very slowly.
That does make me think also food prepping, though.
Food prepping,
and how
yeah.
that could be. I think, I don't know if I mentioned it on the show, but I tried to do an experiment of...
You did?
Yeah, I did. $200 saved from not eating at all.
Wow.
I said, my goodness, pop that right back in the future for retirement.
Yeah.
And yeah, I've just been walking over to the co-op, because you know, it's a little bit more, you know, expensive, but so I only get the chicken there.
Yeah.
And just prep for a couple of days at least for, you know, and then you're not forcing yourself to having to, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll just go grab a quick bite or so. You're investing in your future self, you know, and it's really, And if we say thrifty tips, but I really do think this is a lot of, it's like taking care of yourself, taking care of business, you know, not really being so dependent on having money to be able to take care of yourself and take care of yourself, because either you have friends you can barter with, maybe because your past self made sure that your future self will be fed.
Yeah.
You know, maybe because you're supporting a business directly and getting, you know, going directly to Dave's Killer Bread or something and getting their bread there for a little bit
cheaper. Cut out the middleman.
What is the middleman?
Wholesaling.
What is the taxes that animate our lot? I'm kidding.
Whoa.
Food.
You got a friend with a Costco membership?
Oh.
You don't have to buy toilet paper, but once a year, Another thing about food prep, and this is one of those things that every so often I come on this show and I say, like, I just discovered this. And it's like, duh, Althea. It's extremely obvious that you would bring that up. But, like, food prep, and I like it.
Yeah.
Like, I made something that I really like, and then I'm looking forward to lunch.
I love that feeling.
Oh my goodness.
And you know you're set, and you're like, I don't even have to leave the house. I can just...
I'm stoked. Or like, over the winter, I was making soup, and then I allowed myself to splurge on the nice bread.
Oh.
But the bread with the soup is like... Because you're
saving little dollars here and there.
Yeah, I blended up that squash my damn self. So I get to have a little bit of like the rosemary loaf or whatever.
You deserve it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, also flour with a U, for those who can. Flour and water.
Right.
Dude, life changing. A little bit of flour, a little bit of water.
Speaking of things that people may know about already.
You just mix those two bad boys together.
Right.
It creates this thing called a dough.
Right.
You know what you can do with that? You can bake it. You can fry it. Mm. You can deep fry it.
Whoa.
You can...
Boil it.
Into pasta.
Yeah.
And then you can then deep fry the pasta that you made and make a little crunchy treat. Popcorn kernels instead of getting the popcorn.
Yeah.
Because then you can have it sweet or savory.
Right. You get to choose.
Because you're master of your own destiny.
So true. We are talking thrifty tips here on The Gap. We have a few minutes left. If you have one that we haven't talked about, 503-231-8187. Let us know what you think. We would love to hear from you. We also, you can email if you want, thegapradio@gmail.com. You can message us on Instagram, @thegapradio. These are all options for you.
We're making ourselves too available.
Too available.
And you know, what we're talking about is also, it's not that we're, it's like really focusing on just like food and what are you going to do with your time, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, because again, it's so expensive right now that even thinking of, oh, well, if I go hang out with her, well, what are we going to do? Like, I don't really want to go out and eat or something or go out to, like, you know, can we just hang out at home and you know, and yeah, you can just hang out at home.
Yeah.
Go, you know, get the good old Goodwill.
Goodwill.
And,
get a puzzle.
Oh.
It's like $4. Maybe all the pieces will be in there. I don't know.
And if not, then you can make your own.
So true.
I noticed the free piles are starting to...
I mean, the little libraries.
Yeah.
People are putting stuff in there.
You can make things, put it in your in the little library.
I think one thing that strikes me is that urgency is expensive. It's like, I need to do something now. This needs to happen right this second. You know, and then it's like, okay, if I want that right now, it's going to cost X, Y amount of money, right? It's going to be more expensive versus I know that I'm going to the library to borrow a DVD of the third season of Cheers, you know, having a plan, having a DVD player. Famously, I love having a DVD player.
And just doing the action of going out and, you know,
getting curious.
Yeah,
And we're going to come up on the summer with all of the free events.
We love sharing free events from
love
the summer
events.
We got another caller.
Hi, caller. Can you hear us?
I can. Yes. So my tip, what I like to do is buy the lettuce that has the root ball, and you just use it, and then you plant it, and it comes back again and again. It just keeps growing.
The butter lettuce, right? Usually I see it as butter lettuce, I think.
Yeah, you just throw it into the soil, and it just keeps going. So
that's a good tip. Tammy's writing it down.
Yeah, I'm writing it. I'm Googling it to see exactly what it looks like, so I can get. Oh, okay, the living lettuce.
Yeah, it's just at the grocery store.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Easy peasy. Well, thank you so much for calling.
No problem. Bye.
Bye.
I love these. Oh, legumes, rice, bulk buying. You can make so many things with lentils.
Yeah.
Crepes, soups, I don't know, face creams. I don't know.
That's yet untested by us. But
I'll let you know next week. As long as coconut oil exists, I'll exist. We're coming up on the hour.
Thank you to everybody for listening. Thank you for sharing your thrifty ideas with us.
Nifty
and thrifty. It takes maybe a little bit more thinking ahead of time.
Yeah.
You know, I want to do this. What's the cheapest way that
Reclaim
I can do it?
Reclaim your time, if you can.
Yeah.
If you can. Some of us, I totally understand, can. Busy bees.
And also, like, talk to your friends about what your budget is. Because I've certainly been in the situation where a friend, I want to see a friend, or we're hanging out, or it's their birthday, and it's like, oh gosh, it is a lot more expensive
right.
than I was ready for. And that, for me, it impacts my enjoyment.
Oh yeah.
So if you're if you're the spendy friend, you know, you like to go do fancy things, be sure to communicate that with the thriftier people in your life.
I love thriftiness.
I
tell people, I say, you know, I went to Safeway today, $14 I saved.
Oh, you said, to go back to the planting for 1 second before we leave, Tammy told me she's not planting, she's not buying seeds for her garden. She's going to just plant whatever the crows bring her.
Whatever they bring, I'm going to plant. They already got a sunflower.
It works well enough. Well, this is The Gap. Tune in next week where we'll be here talking about other stuff.
Yay. My name is Tammy.
I'm Althea. See you next time.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Community Radio.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934